On today's episode of The Front Row, we are at the Texas Tech University School of Music in the office of Dr. Sarah McCoyne, who is Director of Bands here at Texas Tech University. Dr. McCoyne, welcome back to The Front Row. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Now, let me just begin by saying, in a lot of communities and towns, the band director is a significant person because they're probably the big musician in the town. So what does that mean to be director of bands at a Division I school of music? Is that correspondingly even bigger as far as being the big musician in town?
Oh, I don't know that I'm the big musician in town, but it is an exciting position to be in because we get to interact with a lot of guest artists, guest composers, sort of the movers and shakers, I think, in the contemporary classical musical world, if you will. And that part of what we do is very exciting.
What all do you do? What does a day look like for you?
It depends on the day, I guess. But the best part of the days that I have are making music. I think for all of us. And the stuff that you're going to hear on this concert this week will be brand new, world premiere, never been done before piece. We did a little sneak preview of this piece by Viet Quang last semester, but the 2.0 finished version is done, and it's great, and it's better even than it was last October. And the things that I like doing the most of my day are making music, and putting something out in the world is special.
So director of bands literally means you direct bands, in addition to directing academics as well, right?
Yes. I mean, I conduct the Symphonic Wind Ensemble. I oversee the rest of the band program. We have a very active and large band program here. I teach graduate conducting. I'm in charge of the graduate conducting. I'm chair of the...
Do you teach, like, band literature?
On a rotation basis, pedagogy and band literature, wind literature. So we start from Sassato and go till right now.
Wonderful. So, yes. Great. Well, you have a concert coming up Thursday.
We do.
And as you kind of hinted, you're doing a piece that's had kind of a gestation.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it was done in the fall. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And then you will do the complete work on this concert. Is that right?
That is correct. And the birth of this piece started before COVID.
Oh, my.
So the Aruna Saxophone Quartet is a sax quartet of alumni from Texas Tech. And at that time, the leader of what is now Aruna was in my wind ensemble. And we had Viet here doing some chamber music. And he was so taken with his music, he said, "Do you think that he would write a piece for sax quartet and winds? He hasn't done that." And I said, "Ask him." And so he asked him, and he said, "I haven't done that. I'd be happy to do that." And so that was right before the world shut down.
All right.
And so it's taken a while for it to get to where it is, so it's very exciting to be able to release
so
it.
So who is Viet Quang?
Viet Quang, I'm biased, but I love Viet's music. I think he has a really fresh contemporary voice for our medium and other mediums, not just band, but he writes for chamber music. He's written for the New York Philharmonic. He's written for the Eighth Blackbird. He's written for Soul Percussion, Sandbox Percussion. He's written great chamber music that has then had sort of a full ensemble version in various forms. He's just very eclectic. And he's very... One of the things I love about Viet is that he just doesn't rush to make a deadline. He really cares deeply about making sure that the art that he makes, he's proud of, that represents him well, and I love that about him.
So a saxophone player in your band mm-hmm. at the time approached him and said, would he be interested in writing for quartet and wind ensemble?
That's right.
Then what? How did it move after that?
Well, and I said, I'll help you. And so one of the things that the band world does well, it's very, very common, is that we enter into consortium agreements and support composers. So I then, with the help of the quartet, which, by the way, won the 46th annual Fischoff competition, National Chamber Music Competition. I mean, from good old Texas Tech. I mean, it's a big, big deal. So an outstanding quartet in their own right, and they won that while they were students. And so they still function. They aren't students anymore, but they still function and are based in Central Texas. And but as a band director, we often enter into consortiums with other schools, and we share the financial burden of something.
Oh, right, yeah.
So Runa had some skin in the game, and then I reached out to major universities across the country to see if they were interested. And many of these people also support Vietnamese music. So we have some very strong universities across the country that are involved in this project.
So it made it possible to do a commission.
Correct.
Right. Great. Yeah. And then it began to appear, I guess.
It began to appear. And then as the lead person on that, what you get out of that is the world premiere. You also get first rights at the recording. So we're doing a recording project as well the night before we do the concert next week.
All right. And the concert is Thursday.
Thursday night at 7:30 in Allen Theater.
Allen Theater. You know, there's so many venues now, we have to be careful.
I know. I had to check also to see where we were playing.
So great. Thursday night in the Allen Theater. So tell us about the piece. What can people expect to hear?
Well, I think what's an interesting thing about this piece is you're going to hear right away it's happy music. And Viet had finished another piece called Vital Signs with Eighth Blackbird. And after that was wildly successful and was done with wind ensemble. It's since been done with orchestra. The Pacific Symphony just did it. And during that piece, Viet's father had passed away. And so he really had a time. He had to just take time because it really knocked him on his heels a bit and was grieving through that. And said he was concerned that he wouldn't write anything that was happy. Mm. You know, try to find his voice. He was afraid he'd lost his spark. And so through this piece and another piece that we just happened to do in October called Deciduous, through the course of this, he has found that spark. And so this piece is special for him for that reason. So I think if you're just listening to it for the first time, I think you will find a ton of groove in the piece. He uses elements of house music, and I'm not cool enough to be really up to snuff on house music, but I know he played some for us. I'm like, it's just got such joy and groove to it. So there's a lot of that in the saxophone parts. Another element that you're going to hear in this piece is that he has been fascinated with this idea of sort of acoustic reverb. So how can he make acoustic instruments sound through the quartet like they're playing something and putting reverb on it? Mm-hmm. So you'll hear that technique. You also hear a technique in there that he uses in Deciduous where there's this idea of an effect where if you have a crescendo and you start from nothing and you go to something, kind of goes out to the universe as a crescendo, he has some where you start at a volume and kind of come back into the vacuum of sound. So we have some of these techniques that he explored in Deciduous, but they're now used in the accompaniment of voices.
And Deciduous was a piece you did on a previous concert.
We did. Right? We did it last October, and we did sort of a workshop performance of The Second Nature. Yeah, right. And so it was a nice pairing.
Right.
And now I can see more of the stuff that was used in that in the rest of the piece.
Right. So this world premiere will be Thursday of next week in the Allen Theater, and it will be the completed work.
Oh, yes. Yeah. It's the completed work, and it's great. It's through a composer. There's three parts to it, but it's three composed. It's about 16 minutes long, and it'll just get you right away. I mean, it'll grab you right away.
Right, with a recording session the night before.
With a recording session the night before.
Wonderful. Great. Excellent. Well, what else is on the program?
We are doing the first half of the concert, because we just got back to school. The first half of the concert is going to be some chamber ensembles that are within the School of Music, and we gave them an opportunity to perform if they would like to. So we have another sax quartet called Sphera. They're doing a piece, they're opening the concert. We have who else is playing? There's a trumpet ensemble that is playing, and they're doing some arrangement of Rite of Spring, which will be great.
Oh, yeah.
There is a chamber group from the wind ensemble that's doing a piece called Serenade by Kataj Copley. It's an octet, but it's an unusual octet. It's not harmony music octet. It's got saxophones, trumpets, flutes. Really creative color, beautiful, fun, really uplifting piece. And so we have three or four chamber ensembles on that first half. And then the second half will be us. We'll do a piece, an opener, which is just an iconic opener of a piece that my graduate student is going to conduct. Called Rocky Point Holiday. It's a great opener. And the composer of that, Ron Nelson, just passed away in December. So it's sort of an homage to him and his contributions to the world of band. So he's going to do that. And then we're going to do the concerto.
Right. What's not to like?
What is not to like? There is something there for everyone. I can tell you that. Yeah.
That's great. You mentioned scoring and chamber music and stuff like that. That leads me to a question that I have. In chamber music and sometimes orchestral music, sometimes from piece to piece, you don't know what a work would be scored for. Mm-hmm. Is that true in wind ensemble music in general? For instance, do you know ahead of time, can you make assumptions about what Viet Quang will score for? Will it be normal wind ensemble, or is there a lot of variation?
You know, that's a great question. So the history of wind ensemble, really, when it was first done, was with the idea of, we used to have these huge bands. It's kind of a historical thing. And then when Frederick Pinnell created this wind ensemble idea, which was more one of a part, and the original wind ensemble was based on the wind section in the ring cycle. And being at Eastman, there were lovely composers there, and he knocked on the door and said, would you be interested in writing for this sort of new ensemble? And they embraced that, and I mean, that's been a long time ago, but that's how that started. And part of that was that they said, here is sort of the model. You be you, you be creative, you find your creative voice, and you can use whatever you'd like out of this. And that included piano, it included harp, it included string bass, the whole plethora of percussion, you know. So there were all of a sudden kind of like a large, you could have a large chamber group within a large ensemble, I guess, you know. Or they could, so I think a normal quote-unquote wind ensemble can mean different things to different people. And with that, and whoever the composer is, their voice, what they write for. Sometimes they write for one and a part, sometimes they double, sometimes they use just orchestral instruments. So it's, you know, it's not unlike Stravinsky, really, but there's sort of a standardized, more or less smaller wind ensemble, I guess, rather than a big symphonic band or concert.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's sort of the name of that. I mean, a lot of people don't know, but it does offer a huge variety of color.
Right. Well, that's helpful. I never really knew what the standardization of that was.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, a lot of people don't. That's probably on us as a profession, you know. But it's just a different type of wind music. I mean, if you go from like the L'Histoire du Soldats, right? Or the grand partitas of this world, or the things that were true chamber music. Nobody thought of it as band or wind ensemble, but it was a wind ensemble of some sort.
Right.
And the wind ensemble we have today is your standard, is a little larger than the L'Histoire, things like that. But still, it's the same idea and the same complexities of color.
Gotcha. Right. Well, looking ahead, you have a whole semester to go. What are your ideas for the rest of the time that we have together?
Well, the rest of the semester, we have other things on the horizon. This concert's February 1. We have a concert in March, March 26th, and April 26th. The March 26th concert, we have, we're featuring a piece by Zhao Tian, who's a composer at the Michigan State, and he has been an award. He has won awards with a piece called Symphonia. It's based on four movements of things that he's just passionate about. There's a film noir movement. There's In the City movement. There's four different movements of that somehow he threads all together in a really interesting way. But that's his Symphonia, and that's going to be sort of the cornerstone of that concert. We're also doing Quiet City on that concert by Aaron Copland with Julia Bell and Susie Rocket on English horn. So that'll be lovely, and that's just I can't wait to do that. I haven't done that in a long time.
That's guest trumpet.
Julia Bell trumpet, Susie Rocket on English horn. Beautiful artists. Great opportunity to have them play together, and so we're excited
about
that.
A wonderful piece, yeah.
It's a wonderful piece. So we are doing that on March 26th, and April 26th, we're going to do a piece with Philippe Chow, who's our viola professor, and he's going to do a piece for Viola and Winds by Joel Puckett that's based on poetry. It's very accessible. It's just beautiful. It's been done, and that piece started its origin when Kim Spar was here. And she just recorded it at LSU, and it's fantastic. So that has had a real life in the musical world as well. So.
All right. Well, it sounds like a great semester.
I think it's going to be great.
Music.
I hope so.
Yeah,
I think
wonderful.
So.
The concert that is coming up is next Thursday. It's in the Allen Theater at what time?
7:30.
All right. And people can just come, right?
Yes, it's free, open to the public, and it's sort of our new temporary home while they're redoing Himley. Right. So we'll hope to be back there next fall, but Allen Theater has been great.
Excellent. Our guest on the show today has been Dr. Sarah McCoyne, who is Director of Bands at the Texas Tech University School of Music. Sarah, thank you so much for being our guest on the show today.
Thank you, and thanks for supporting us.